John chapter 14, our text. We've been using it sort of as a launching pad for the last several weeks. So go ahead and turn over there with me. Again this morning, John chapter 14, the words of the Lord to his disciples on the night that he was about to be betrayed, his preparation for his closest men in preparing them for what was about to happen, not only to him, but preparing them for what was about to happen to them, and getting their hearts ready for a mighty work of the Spirit of the Lord. We share these verses with you today to encourage you in your spiritual journey to trust that God is wanting to do a mighty work in all of our hearts and in all of our lives and making us more like Jesus. Jesus speaks this in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Let's pray together. Father, as we open the scriptures this morning and read your word, we thank you for the spiritual food that it is for each of us today to encourage us and strengthen us in our spiritual journeys. I pray, Lord, that we would have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would want to say to each of us personally here today. Lord, you would speak a clear word to us. And we thank you, Lord, for the strength and the hope and the encouragement we receive in the process. We give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Got good news for you today. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and that's us. He died on the cross to forgive every one of us of all of our sins so that we could be forgiven, so that we could receive new life, so that we could spend eternity with God in the world to come. I got more good news for you today. Jesus didn't leave us here in this world to muddle through or to get by as best as we possibly can on our own and in our own ability and in our own strength. But he gave us the precious gift of the Holy Spirit who would live and dwell in us and help us step by step along the way, every step of the journey. We found out over the course of our study, and this is about the fourth or fifth week now, we found out that the Holy Spirit has been given to us so that we might know the mind of the Lord where our lives are concerned. Jim mentioned how we all have a calling on our life. We all have a purpose for why we're here. There's something the Lord wants us to do. The Holy Spirit has been given to us so that he can reveal to us what God's plan is for our life and then strengthen us that we might walk in it. He's been given to us that we might have the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord so that you and I can learn to make better choices so that we can live a better life. How many of you know God really does want you to live a blessed life in your journey through this time while you're here? The Bible says that he gives us all things, listen to this, he gives us all things richly to enjoy. God wants us to have a good life while we're here and to be at peace and to be strong and to be faithful and experience love and to be fulfilled in this journey that we call life. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to see that that can happen. But how many of you understand that there's a whole lot of suffering in this world? There's a whole lot of suffering in this lifetime. And just to take that a step further, how many of you would understand that a lot of the pain and the suffering that we experience in this life, hear this, is self-inflicted pain. It's because of poor choices that we make along the way through life. We make poor choices as kids. We make poor choices about the people we're going to hang out with or the people we're going to run with in life. And we find ourselves running with people and sometimes doing things on our own. We never would have done that. I was a good kid. I really was. I wasn't a troublemaker by nature, okay? But I knew some guys that were. And from time to time, I would hang out with those guys. And you know what? Sure as a world, I'd find myself in trouble because of the influence of the people that I chose to surround myself. See, I made poor choices
to be in bad situations and then had to suffer the consequences for it. Oh, so many stories come to mind. Let's don't wander down that path any further, huh? We make poor choices, and the people that we run around with, we make poor choices financially in life. And we get ourselves in financial distress and sometimes deep debt and a lot of pain and a lot of problems. Financial distress is one of the major causes of divorce in our society and in our nation today. Because people get wacky with their money, and they get greedy with what they want, and they don't use wisely what God has given to them. And all of a sudden they find themselves in financial distress. And now you got creditors calling, and now you got arguments in the house, and now you got division between husband and wife, and you got a marriage that winds up broken. It happens all the time. We make poor choices with our diet. God bless you. Getting personal this morning. Did you see how quickly I went from me to you? No, me too. We make poor choices. We make poor choices with our diet today. You've seen the commercial on television. I'm sure you have if you watch very much television. This little kid, this little chubby little kid, he's sitting at a computer, and he picks up a telephone, and he calls, and he says, and Grandma answers on the other end. And she's in the next room. And he says, "Hey, Grandma, how about bringing me another soda?" And he sits there and plays at the computer while he drinks yet another soda. But look, we make poor choices about the kind of things that we eat, the kind of things that we drink, and all these kinds of things. And, you know, when I was a kid, diabetes was a rarity. It was extremely unusual to hear about somebody who had diabetes. Most people in our society, most of us are going to wind up with it sooner or later in life. It's because of the junk that we're putting into our system. We eat fast food. It's fast and easy. And that's the way we like life, isn't it? Fast and easy. We don't want to work for anything. We don't want it to be hard. The faster we can get it, the quicker, the easier. That's what we want. And we wind up eating junk food that's full of grease and all kinds of stuff. And we flush it down with colas to try to wash it out of our system. And we're pouring sugar into us constantly. I'm just saying, guys, we make poor choices. And those things come back to haunt us. We reap the benefits of those kind of things, or the destruction from those kinds of things. Poor choices in our lives. The Holy Spirit has been given to us that we can have the mind of the Lord, that we can have the wisdom of God, so that we can make better choices. And as a result, live a better life. God has given us the Holy Spirit so that we can have the wisdom of God. Now, when you look with me, turn over to the book of Proverbs, if you would, please. The middle of your Bible should be Psalms, and one book to the right is the next book after Psalms is the book of Proverbs. I want to read just a few verses here. I want you to see the benefits and the blessings of discovering and walking in the wisdom of God. Okay? Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs is written by King Solomon of Israel, instructing his children about how to live life properly. But you and I know this is inspired by the Spirit of God. This is, in reality, this is God speaking to us. And I want you to hear what God says to you today. You're his child, and he has great things in store for you. You need to listen to what he's got to say. He says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days..." Look at verse 2. "For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." I could stop right there and just kind of coast on that this afternoon. Look at the blessings that he tells us there. When we hear the word of the Lord, when we receive the teaching of God, when we have the wisdom of God in the mind of Christ concerning the issues of life. Length of days, years of life, peace they will add to you. "Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man.
Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Rather, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Please hear what He just told us there in those two verses of Scripture. He says, as we're going through the journey of life, don't see yourself as going through the journey of life all by yourself and just having to, you know, make the best of it yourself and choose whatever best path you think you can find for yourself. He says, but in all of your ways, acknowledge God. In other words, recognize that in this journey of life, God is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you to give you the wisdom and the knowledge of God concerning the issues of your life. Acknowledge God. Let Him direct the course of your life, He's telling us in these verses. In all of your ways, acknowledge God. He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Healing comes when we walk in the wisdom of God and His instruction and His direction for our lives. Look at verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Remember, the Holy Spirit has given us the wisdom of God. Her prophet, the prophet from wisdom, is better than the profit of silver, her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Still speaking of wisdom here. Her profit is better than that. I already read it, didn't I? Verse 15. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. These are the blessings that come when we walk in the wisdom of God, and the wisdom of God has been given to us by the Spirit of God, so that God can manifest all of these things in our lives as we live our life led by the Holy Spirit. We understand then how important it is to cultivate a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit of God, to learn to recognize the voice of the Spirit of the Lord when God speaks to us. It's that what the Bible calls in Kings a still, small voice, just an inward impression. Isaiah says it this way in Isaiah 30, verse 21, you will hear a voice in your ear saying, walk this way. And the Spirit of the Lord is like that whisper that just in the back of your mind, you hear God saying, wait a minute, maybe you shouldn't make that choice. Maybe you shouldn't run with these people. Maybe you shouldn't drink that extra soda. Maybe you should make a better choice. Maybe you should do something else. And the Spirit of the Lord will direct us. We need to quiet our heart and listen for the still small voice of God. That's why the psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be quiet. Quiet your heart. Meditate on the Lord. Commune with God and listen to Him. You and I should treasure the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit. We should desire His company, His companionship, His fellowship in the same way that He desires ours. I shared with you last week, Holy Spirit likes you. The Holy Spirit loves you. The Holy Spirit wants to go through life with you and help you in the journey and give you victory. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is actually jealous over us. Proverbs 18 says He is a friend who is closer than a brother. In Ephesians 3, we read over there that the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do the things that we don't think is even possible for us to do. To be kind to unkind people, to forgive people when they've wronged us. All of these things that we find difficult to do and really sometimes don't even want to do. The Holy Spirit can give us the ability to do anything God has commanded you to do. You know, we should look at the Bible from a different perspective. And when we read the commandments of God, instead of cringing at the word commandment, we should rejoice when we read it. And here's why. Because everything God has commanded us to do, He equips us by the Holy Spirit so we can do it. When God says do something, rejoice, because He's giving you the ability to do what He's just instructed you to do. By the sheer weight of the glory of God and the presence of the Lord, He comforts us in times of grief. Another thing I want to share with you today for a few moments, I want to talk about this. Another area where the Holy Spirit can help us and really be our helper is in times of prayer. In times of prayer. I want to read for you some promises that are made in the New Testament. I know I've shared these with you before, and I've shared this with you too, that these promises are so awesome. These promises in the Bible are so awesome. We honestly probably don't believe they're even true. Read with me quickly, if you would, please, Matthew chapter 7. The Holy Spirit wants to help us in prayer. And you and I need to be, listen, you and I need to become Holy Spirit dependent in life. You and I need to get over the attitude that we can make it on our own and we just need God to help us with the big stuff. That's an arrogant, prideful spirit. You understand that? You weren't put here to make it through on your own. You weren't put here to do anything on your own. You were put here to live life with God. And you were put here to live life in communion with the Holy Spirit because Jesus said it this way, apart from me, you can do nothing. Paul said it this way. He said, without God, I am nothing. So without God in your life, you are nothing, you can do nothing, but thank God we're not separated from God. We have the Holy Spirit. He's with us now to help us do everything He's commanded and instructed us to do. And you and I need to learn to become Holy Spirit dependent as we journey through life. And we need to become Holy Spirit dependent when we come to prayer. And let me just share this with you. I think far too often, when it comes to prayer, we assume we know what the need is. And so we pray based on our assumptions. And if we'll all be honest this morning, most of us probably have a pretty low percentage when it comes to seeing real answers to prayer. In fact, I'm convinced that's the main reason we are so prayerless as a people. We read these promises in Scripture. It looks good on paper. But in the reality of our lives, we don't see it very much, and so we don't bother. Let's read these promises together. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. This is Jesus teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says this. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Well, that's promise enough right there, just to blow your mind. He said, ask, and it will be given. He didn't say any ifs, ands, or buts. He said, ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. He goes on to say, what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf of bread, will you give him a stone? Of course not. We love our children, and we give them what they need. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. This is the law and the prophets. Look over at the next gospel, the Gospel of Mark, and the 11th chapter with me. I need to pick up the pace. Mark chapter 11. Just verse 24. Just to make the point immediately and move on. Look at what Jesus says. Look at the promise of the Lord Jesus. Mark 11, 24. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. Everything you ask for, if you can believe for it, you will receive it. There's a condition there, it's faith, and I don't have time to unravel that, but I simply want you to see today the point of the promise of Jesus to answer prayer. Look at James, the book of James, chapter 5. way back over toward the end of your New Testament. Verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the verse 15, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Look at 1 John chapter 5. We see there once again the promise from the Lord in James chapter 5, he will answer prayer. Okay? Our God is a prayer answering God, and he wants to answer our prayers. And my message today is not on prayer, it's on the Holy Spirit. But here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that you and I need to depend on the Holy Spirit in prayer so that we can know how to pray correctly and be more successful in our time of prayer. And stop assuming that we know what the need is and praying according to our will. Guys, I guarantee you we do this all the time. We don't mean it. We don't mean anything bad by it. We don't mean to be, you know, not doing prayer right. We think we're doing everything right. But I'm just saying, when we assume that we know stuff and we pray according to our assumptions, so many times we're missing God because we're not really praying according to His will. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask Him anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we've asked from Him. If we pray according to His will, He hears. If He hears, He will answer. A promise again of the Lord to answer our prayer. The key there, praying in the will of God. And we found out last week that God has given us His Holy Spirit so that we can know His will and know a better way to pray. But you see, even though we have the Holy Spirit, we often don't depend on the Holy Spirit. We often don't even bother to consult with the Holy Spirit. He is our helper. He has come to help us and to walk with us and to show us the way and to give us the strength and to show us the right way. And we need to become Holy Spirit dependent when we pray and not assume that we know what the need is. Just for an example. We talk about sickness. Immediately, when we hear about somebody who is sick, we think immediately, well, the answer is they need healing. And of course, that's true. And ultimately, we're going to get there, and that's what we're going to pray for. And listen, by the way, I'm not saying to you, if you don't hear anything from the Holy Spirit, don't pray. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying that we can pray a better prayer if we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. And when He speaks and when He directs, pray as He prays. Look, if you don't hear anything from the Holy Spirit, if you don't feel like you get any impression from the Holy Spirit about something, it doesn't mean don't pray. It just means you're going to pray in hope and not faith, but you still pray. But here's the thing. A lot of times God is wanting to do something in us before He gives something to us. Please hear this. Let's go back to the sodas and the diabetes, okay? Or we could do it with abusing alcohol. We could do it with smoking, whatever, all these kind of things. All of these things cause diseases. We know this. Abusing alcohol can cause liver disease and other problems, heart disease. Smoking can cause cancer, too much sugar, diabetes, all of these things. But look, guys, the issue from God's perspective is more than just the physical healing. God doesn't want to heal you of diabetes so you can just keep drinking your sugar cokes. God doesn't want to heal you of cancer so you can keep smoking cigarettes. Okay? God's wanting to do something in us. He's wanting to change us on the inside and then do something
where the healing is concerned. God is always, how many of you understand today that God is more concerned with who you are than what you have? Character is the primary issue with God. Character is. My point is just to say, brother and sister, that where prayer is concerned, you and I need to be dependent on the Holy Spirit of God and let the Holy Spirit lead us in prayer. There are a number of passages of Scripture in the Bible that confirm this. Let's try to read as many of them as we can. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, while you're turning there, let me just give you the gist of what's going on in this chapter. Paul is instructing the Ephesian believers there in some things that they can do to strengthen themselves in their spiritual journey and in their wrestlings with the powers of darkness. Okay? And the way that he does it in symbolic form, sharing these various things as though they are pieces of armor. In other words, he says, put on the helmet of salvation. He says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. He says, take up the shield of faith. And so he's talking about salvation, righteousness, and faith, but he's doing it in a picture form of an armor of a Roman soldier who used these things to protect him from his enemy, okay? And so we use these things, righteousness, faith, what was the other one I mentioned? Salvation. We use these things as weapons against our enemy, the devil, when he comes against us. Now, there's another piece of the armor that he mentions, I believe down in verse 18. I want you to see it with me here. It's another tool in the toolbox, if you want to say it that way. He says in verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Prayer is another tool, another weapon that we have to overcome the enemy and his attacks against our lives. And he mentions specifically in that verse to pray in the Spirit. And we've talked about that phrase before, in the Spirit. And it means to be under the leadership and under the direction and authority of the Holy Spirit of God. Pray in communion with the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Spirit when you pray. Don't just assume you know yourself what needs to be prayed. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Let the Holy Spirit instruct you. Follow what He tells you to do when you pray. Now, there's going to be more to that, and I'm going to share it in just a few moments. In fact, look over at, let's look at another verse that confirms this same thought. Look over at the book of Jude. It's the next to last book in your Bible. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, then Jude, one little chapter before the book of Revelation. Jude confirms the need for us as believers to be led by the Holy Spirit in a time of prayer. Jude, one chapter, verse 20. Now, Jude has been speaking about mockers for the church up to this point. Those who are void of the Spirit and those who mock Christianity. But now he turns his attention to those who are believers and those who have the Spirit. And he says this to the believer in verse 20. But you, believer, you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. He says, when you're in prayer, let the Holy Spirit lead you. Let the Holy Spirit govern you and show you how to pray. And as you pray under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you will build yourself up in your faith and you will be able to keep yourself in the love of God and you will be able to stay strong in the things of the Lord. We need to be Spirit-led. We need to be Spirit-controlled, Spirit-dependent when it comes to prayer. And then we will be strengthened. Now, I want you to notice something out of this passage that I just read. Verse 20.
Jude writes, and when he says here, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. I want you to notice something here. He says, praying in the Spirit edifies us. Praying in the Spirit builds us up. It strengthens us. It encourages us in our spiritual journey. I want to suggest to you today that there's something more, something that's implied in that phrase, praying in the Holy Spirit, that causes us to be strengthened, edified, and built up when we pray. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 with me, and we're going to probably finish right here in this passage this morning. There is something more to praying in the Spirit. While you're finding Corinthians, let me just say this. How many of you know there's something more just to prayer in general than asking for stuff? See? We reduced prayer to asking for stuff. Prayer in the Bible is so much more than that. In fact, when you look at the model prayer that we have in the Bible, we call it the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. We can break that down into about six parts. And half of the Lord's Prayer is about praise and worship and adoration and surrender. Very little of the Lord's Prayer is about asking for stuff. Yet we've reduced prayer to just asking for stuff. But prayer is more than that. Prayer is praise. Prayer is worship. Prayer is drawing near. Prayer is communion. Prayer is talking to God. It's just talking to God. We use the word prayer, but it's having communion with the Lord. That's why I believe Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. Listen. When he says pray without ceasing, he's not saying just spend all your life asking for stuff. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about just stay in communion with God. Keep that channel of communication open between you and God. Be ever talking to the Lord about everything you're going through in life. Commune with the Father when you pray. Pray without ceasing. Prayer is more than just asking for stuff. Prayer is communion with God. It's about praise. It's about worship. It's about adoration. And it strengthens us when we do that in this spiritual journey. Now, when we come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, this whole chapter deals with the issue. Won't you hear this? It deals with the issue of praying in the Spirit. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, pray in the Spirit. Jude says, pray in the Holy Spirit. And there's something more that Paul wants us to understand about praying in the Spirit that goes beyond normal praise and worship, goes way beyond just asking for stuff. Here's what I want you to hear today. When we look at this chapter, here is what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We refer to it as praying in the Spirit, but Paul is going to refer to it throughout this chapter in this way, speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. What's happened in the Corinthian church, and let me just explain what's going on here so that we understand it before we read it, and then as we read it, we'll know what's happening. The Corinthian church was misusing the God-given gift of speaking in other tongues or praying in the Spirit. Those phrases are interchangeable, okay? And I'll prove that to you in a minute. They were misusing this gift of speaking in other tongues. And so Paul has to write to the church there in Corinth in order to give them some instruction as to how this gift ought to be used by the believer. The essence of what Paul is going to say throughout this chapter is this. You see, what they were doing is the Corinthian believers were all coming together, and apparently they thought if you speak in tongues, it makes you look spiritual. So when they all got together, everybody wanted to speak in tongues. And everybody is coming together, and everybody is speaking in tongues, and what we mean by that is speaking in a language not your own, speaking in a language that you've not learned,
speaking in a language that the Holy Spirit gives. It can be a language of man, or it can be a language of heaven. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, if I pray with the tongues of men or of angels. So praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, can be a natural language that you haven't learned, or it can be a language that the Holy Spirit gives, a language of heaven. But here's the thing. Think of it this way. Paul says, when you all come together and everybody's speaking in tongues, then nobody is understanding what anybody is saying, and therefore nobody's getting anything out of it. Think of it this way. Suppose you came to church this morning and I decided to deliver the message in Mandarin or some Chinese dialect or something, and none of you know the language, and I'm speaking the sermon and it's a good word of God, but nobody understands the language. What good does it do to any of you? It does no good, does it? So that's what's happening when these Corinthian believers are getting together and they're all speaking in other tongues. And so Paul writes to them and says, when you get together like this, you need to speak in a language that people can understand rather than speaking in tongues. And here's the point. Paul does not say speaking in tongues is wrong or bad or anything like that. He simply says you're misusing the gift that God has given you and you're using it inappropriately. He says it is better when you come together to have somebody speak in a language that everybody knows so that everybody's edified. If one person speaks in tongues, that person will be edified. But nobody else will. And so it's better when you come together that you speak in the language that everybody knows so that everybody is edified. Okay? And that's the essence of this 14th chapter. It's correction for the misuse of the spiritual gift of other tongues. But now here's what we can do. We can glean some truths about what speaking in tongues is and what its purpose ultimately is by going through some of these verses of Scripture, because Paul does lay out some of those things even as he attempts to correct these Corinthian believers. So look with me quickly at verses 1 through 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul writes and he says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And let me just stop right there. The word prophesy in this passage of Scripture means more than what you probably think it does. Because most of us, when we think of the word prophecy, we think of predicting the future. That's just really a part of what prophecy is. Prophecy in the Bible is the declaration of the Word of God by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's why there are many people who in some parts of Christianity interpret this prophesying as preaching the word. That's a perfectly legitimate understanding of prophecy. It's a part of it, but it's a legitimate part of it. And so this is kind of what Paul is talking about here. He says, I want you to speak, but to prophesy versus tongues. Tongues is in an unknown language. Prophecy is in the known language. And that's why Paul says in verse 1, especially desire that you might prophesy, speak in a known language. For the one who speaks in a tongue, in an unknown tongue, doesn't speak to men, but to God. And no one understands. In his spirit, he speaks mysteries. But the one who prophesies speaks in the known language, speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. The one who prophesies edifies the church. Now, I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would all prophesy. And greater is the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may receive edifying. Hear what Paul is saying. Paul is not saying it's wrong to speak in tongues. He's saying it's wrong to speak in tongues the way you're doing it, and how you're doing it, and the place in which you do it. He's saying when you come together corporately, It's better to speak in a known language so that everybody is edified, everybody is encouraged, not just the one who speaks in other tongues. Notice again, just as we read over in Jude, Paul tells us here in this verse of Scripture that the one who speaks in tongues, verse 4, edifies himself. It does bless. It does encourage. It does strengthen the one who's praying in the unknown tongue. But he's the only one who has strengthened as a result. Look at verse 5. Understand that your Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, and these are God's words to the Corinthian believers and not just Paul's words. Okay, let's start right there. And then let's read verse 5, and it says this. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues. The word wish there is a little bit weak, and it's a little bit misleading. The word is actually translated wish about a half a dozen times in the New Testament. But the same word is translated 15 times in the New Testament as desire. Desire. Translate it that way with me. I desire that you all spoke in tongues. The same word is translated about 45 times in the New Testament as want. Want. Translate it that way with me. I want you all to speak in tongues. And so the instruction again is, it's not that you shouldn't speak in tongues, but you just shouldn't be doing it this way in the corporate setting. And that's Paul's whole point throughout this chapter. That this gift has been given to them to edify themselves in a personal and a private and a devotional way. But you're misusing it in the corporate body and causing nothing but confusion along the way. There is a time, there are rare times, when this gift would be experienced in the corporate body. If it's expressed that way, then there needs to be an interpretation so that everybody can be edified and encouraged by it. But it's not something that is supposed to be done by everybody when you come together for church. I believe that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 30, everybody's not to speak in tongues. He's not saying we all can't. He's saying we all shouldn't. We're not all called to. We don't all have that gifting and anointing. Just like we're not all called to be an apostle. We're not all called to be an evangelist. We're not all called to be a teacher. But how many of you know we can all teach? We can all be an evangelist. We can all do the work of an evangelist. We're all supposed to be witnesses, even though we don't have that calling to a particular office. And what Paul is saying to us in these passages of Scripture is that it should be very unique that this is done in a corporate setting. Primarily, the purpose of speaking in tongues is for personal edification and strengthening as a believer. Continue with me. In fact, let's jump down real quickly because my time is gone. Look down at verse 12. Again, he continues through this chapter to make the distinction between an individual speaking in tongues to edify themselves versus someone speaking in a known language to edify the church. And verse 12, he says it that way. So also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church, not just yourself. Therefore, let one who speaks in a tongue pray that he might interpret. For if I pray in a tongue. Now I want you to look at something because my time is gone and I'm rushing here, but I want you to look at something real quickly. Verse 13, he uses the phrase, speaks in tongues. Speaks in a tongue. Verse 14, he uses the phrase, pray in a tongue. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, my mind is unfruitful. What he's telling us there is that praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, is something that comes from the spirit and not the mind. There's actually a disconnect when a person prays in the spirit, prays in tongues. A disconnect from the mind because it comes from the spirit. That actually creates a calm where the mind is concerned. And it helps us to focus on the things of the Lord. So he goes on to say in verse 15, what is the outcome then? I will pray
with the Spirit. There's another phrase. He's talked about, he said, I will speak in a tongue, I will pray in a tongue, I will pray with the Spirit. That's three different phrases. I will pray with my mind also. That means pray by the Holy Spirit in an unknown language, pray by the Holy Spirit with a known language. I will speak, I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you bless in the Spirit, number four, speak in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit, bless in the Spirit, four different phrases, but they all mean the same thing. Hey, Paul's not talking about something different here, and it helps us to understand what praying in tongues is all about. Look at what it says here. Otherwise, if you bless in the Spirit, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say the amen at your giving of thanks? Family, he just told us what praying in tongues is all about. It's about giving thanks to God. It's about worshiping and praising the Lord. It's about exalting Him. We're speaking to Him. We're exalting Him. We're praising Him. And as a result of that, we are strengthened. We are encouraged. And we are edified. He says in verse 17, you're giving thanks well enough when you do it in other tongues, but other people are not edified by it again. There's his point again. Look at verse 18. I'm almost done. I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. This is something the Apostle Paul was proficient at in his spiritual journey, and it helped him to stay focused on the things of the Lord. My time is gone this morning. I can't go any further than to just give you an example very quickly, if I might. We have found in our own experience that praying in the Spirit, communing with the Lord in spiritual language, if I can use a fifth phrase, is a way of strengthening ourselves in our spiritual journey, of calming our hearts and our minds, and helping us to stay focused on the things of God and to stay in the love of God in this spiritual journey. How many of you guys are football fans? Let me see your hands, all of you. How many of you were glad to see the University of Alabama win another national championship? I'll put my hand down. After the University of Alabama, about 5 or 6 weeks ago, won their latest national championship, and if you remember the game, if you watched the game like I did, they started with their starting quarterback. His name is Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts is a strong Christian in his own right. Jalen Hurts was with Tim Tebow in the last couple of weeks at a special event that Tim Tebow hosted for handicapped children and this kind of thing. Jalen Hurts is a good Christian man himself. But he had started for Alabama all year long and came to the national championship game and just couldn't get the team in gear in the first half of the game. The head coach of Alabama decided at halftime to do the unthinkable, to pull his star quarterback and to put a freshman in a quarterback on the biggest stage of college football. This is a true freshman who only months ago had been playing high school football. And he took this kid and he put him in the game at halftime in the second half, and that kid lit it up. That kid played like a seasoned veteran out there, turned the game around for Alabama, and they won the national championship. If you saw his testimony after the game, he was very quick to give the Lord praise for the opportunity that he had to play in that football game. In a later interview, not long after that, they asked him, you're 18 years old. You're on the largest stage possible for a college football player. How in the world does a kid your age go into a game like that and keep your composure and play the way you did? His answer? I spoke in tongues. I spoke in tongues. It helped me stay calm. It helped me stay focused. It helped me play to the best of my ability. That's amazing. That's amazing. Speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit, whatever you want to call it, it's just another tool in the toolbox.
doesn't make you more spiritual than anybody else, but it helps you be more spiritual than the old you without it. Just like praying in your known language, just right reading the Bible on a regular basis will make you a stronger and better person if you listen to those things and do what the Bible says. Praying in the Spirit is just another tool that God gives to us to help us to walk in the things of the Spirit of God and hear the voice of God and stay tuned to the Lord to fulfill God's purpose for our life. I want to encourage you today, and I'll just encourage you along these lines anytime. Seek the Lord. Ask God. I don't know about you, but I still struggle with a lot of things in this life and in this journey. And I need all the help that I can get to overcome and to win and to put down the strongholds and all of that kind of stuff. I need all the help that I can get. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is our helper. And when he comes in power. And when he comes with gifts. And he comes and he gives us the ability to overcome and live victoriously. And I would just encourage you to seek the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit of God to give you everything God wants for your life to help you to be the best Christian you can possibly be and experience the best life you possibly can. Let's stay together. I am way over time. Stand together. Would you pray with me for just a moment? Be encouraged, brothers and sisters. God has not left you here an orphan. He's not left you here on your own to fend for yourself. He has given you His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of God, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the mind of Christ. He is everything that you need to live the victorious Christian life. We need to become Holy Spirit dependent in everything we do about life. Trust the Holy Spirit. Listen to His voice. Be led by Him in everything and in every way. You may have some questions about the things that we've shared here this morning. We're more than happy to come to your home and talk with you about things of the Lord and any questions that you've got about anything that we ever share here. We'd love to talk with you and minister to you and help you to receive everything God has for your life as a believer. Let us know how we can help you further in your personal spiritual journey to become the person of God God wants you to be. If we can pray with you personally about any other issues today, we'll ask you to stay around after we've been dismissed this morning. We'll minister to you on a personal level and pray for God to meet those needs in your life. We'll ask the Holy Spirit to show us what they are. We'll pray together according to His will. Amen. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity again to share the word of the Lord. Thank you that the word is incorruptible seed. Thank you, Father, for the difference that it makes in our life as your Holy Spirit brings it to life, makes it real to us, and empowers us to do what the word says to do. Pray, God, for your blessing on this little church family now in the week that's ahead, that you would watch over them and keep them, lead, guide, and direct them, bless them and anoint them, and use them for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's sing together as we're dismissed today. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will stay in your presence day by day till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great day in the Lord. Oh, by the way, we found another top last week. If this is yours, I'm going to lay it on the book table. If it's yours...